Maria Jalbiniak, Editorial Director of Promax BDA, and this is the Daily Brief Podcast. You can subscribe to the Daily Brief Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you are enjoying us, please head over to Apple Podcasts and give us all the stars. This helps other people find us. One note before I get going today is that I have recently moved and my new office is in this very open space, which is lovely, but it's causing some echo. So the sound quality is not up to my ideal, but we're working on fixing that. So in the meantime, I thank everyone for bearing with me. So today I have the pleasure of talking to Carlos El Asmar. He is the force behind Motionographer and Pop-Up at 5. And Pop-Up at 5 is coming to the conference 2018 in New York, and we're all very excited about it. Hello, Carlos. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. So first of all, tell me a little bit about Motionographer. I go there probably every day, and I'm sure many of our listeners are familiar with it. But for those who are not, what is it and how did it get started?
Well, Motionographer got really started by Justin Cohn, like at around 12 years
Justin
ago.
Justin Cohn, the editor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, but it was the only, because Motionographer is a skill that not many people understand very well. And it was the only blog at that time with blogs were on Rage. And he really didn't know much about Motionographer, but he had a very good taste in picking up very good pieces, and he would post them. And it was a place to go. It was called JustinCohn/Twin. And nothing, and everybody started to just go to his blog, to Twin. And later, when me and him, we met up, we decided to call it, he came up with the name of Motionographer, and actually, he wanted to quit it a few times here and there, but he's like, no, I can't do this anymore. I'm like, suddenly, like I said, let's partner. I will be the silent partner. I don't want anyone to know that I own and work with you on it, that you will be the face of Motionographer, and that's how we started it, and it started growing, and it became what it is today.
Why, do you know why he first called it Tween?
No idea. I don't remember. I think I remember he told me, but we were drunk in the subway, so.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah, I think it's about the keyframe and how you tween the keyframes or something like that, but I don't know why. It sounds like it was about, but we were drunk. I don't remember.
Do you, you said that when he started it, people didn't know what motion graphics were, and I feel like now people are pretty familiar with motion graphics. Do you feel like Motionographer has kind of evolved as people have gotten more familiar with motion graphics, because now you can't go anywhere without seeing motion graphics?
Exactly. No, I mean, motion graphics has been, it's everywhere, but still, even today, like if you go to a party and I said I do motion graphics, I motion what? If you say that you design graphics, they understand that you design, you're a designer. But motion graphics, I tell them motion graphics are like a design that runs by 60 frames by second, so it's animated design. And they get it. But now, Motionographer, I think there's people that they call themselves motionographers, you know, like photographers. But I think right now people are more and more visually educated. I think with the iPhones, everything moves, the car, you know,
right,
when you click a button. So everybody's getting very used to it. And everything, every commercial has motionography, ends with a logo, animated, stars, the letters, the text, every TV show, you know, every open. So people are getting more and more used to what motionographer is. But I still, it's a long way to go.
I actually feel like motion graphics is so integrated at this point that you don't discern between what is video or what is, you know, some, what are just standard graphics and what are motion graphics, because we're so, you know, they're in your apps, they're everywhere.
Yeah, sometimes, like for example, the opening of Game of Thrones, you know, like it's that motion graphic, it's this new technique that it looks like it's done with paper, but it's really motion graphic because it's done in 3D to simulate the organic world.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, I think, is that that's also, what's the difference between motion graphics and CGI? And I think it's probably, they're pretty closely related, right?
Yeah. I would call it almost the same. The difference is that there's different techniques used to it, to do it. And right now, motion graphics uses a lot of CGI, So it's the same.
Okay, so jumping from Motionographer, then what is Pop-Up F5, and how long have you been doing Pop-Up F5?
Well, this is the first time we're doing Pop-Up F5. We've been doing F5. We did the first F5 in 2009. Okay. Yeah, because I'm a very particular, I don't have a Facebook, I'm not social, so I like to interact with humans more than
what?
One-on-one. Yeah, I don't have any social. So they have to teach me that this is how Facebook works and that's how Twitter works. And it took me a while to understand the hashtag thing.
I still don't understand it.
I was talking to Justin. I'm like, this. Everybody just, you know, connecting, and especially in the motion graphic community, there was not a place or, a conference that was just focusing, trying to bring the community together so they can interact, you know, one-on-one. So we decided to come out and do the a conference that was catered to the motion graphic community, but I didn't want the conference to be all motion graphics. It was about creating creative solutions, because I believe that creativity is everywhere, from a chef to a photographer to a NASA scientific. So I wanted to invite two people to come. And yes, we will have here two or three studios or artists that did motion graphics, but I wanted to for everybody to see other creatives in the other area, so you get inspired of their creative process and bring their creative process in your creative process.
So and then on the website, yeah. It says it's that F5 is the pop-up for creative misfits. What do you mean by that?
Well, to answer the pop-up, for the creative misfits, it means like, you know, because we all creatives, we feel that we don't belong, or we have all the issues. We have more issues than all the people that work in finance, and I'm saying that it's better or worse. Yeah, like, you know, to be creative, you know, you have to be a little bit crazy and misfit. You don't feel that you fit, you know, because since you're little, you like to draw, and your mom wants you to be a doctor or a lawyer, but you want to paint. So you always feel that you're not fitting in the world, and I think that's what drives creativity too.
I think we're all creative misfits in a way.
Yeah, we all creative misfits. Yeah, because creativity, everybody thinks that creativity, in my opinion, or when I think in everybody's opinion, that creativity is about just, you know, creating the new next campaign or branding or the best copy. It's about you have a problem and solving the problem. Creativity is about problem solving in any parts of life.
That's interesting. So, and then you only do F5 every sort of when you feel like it, right?
Yeah, that's the other thing. Our idea was to F5 to do it every 2 years, because we didn't want it to do it like every year to make it a little bit more special. Mm-hmm. But later it became, because it's a passion project. So we were doing all the team we were doing on the side. Well, some people were really focused on it, but it will take us a year to do a whole F5, because they call me the detail Nazi. I'm like, from the moment you do the line to the moment you go to the bars to the moment you register, has to be very seamless experience, to call it a way, where you never feel like bother. So it takes us a lot of time, and the creating process of figuring out who comes after what. It takes us a year, because it's a side project. So, and I was working at NBC Universal, handling 7 networks at the same time. So it was like, for example, what we did in 2009, later we did it in 2011, and we were supposed to do it in 2012, but that was the worst year because I had the Olympics, the elections, rebranding. At the same time, I subsidized the tickets, because F5 had this, we have this ethos where we don't accept sponsorship. We don't want logos and things. So for me, too, it was a hit financially, too. It was because I will pay half of it. I like subsidize the tickets, because I don't want the tickets to be too high. And I'm crazy, too. Like the last F5, I bought a whole off-Broadway show with Forza Bruta, and so for people to get the experience. So so that's why there's many reasons. So we did it in 2015, and now we're calling it Pop-Up F5, because you guys call us 2 months before, and, you know, Steve wanted to do a whole day and two tracks. And I'm like, we do this in a year. You want us to do a whole F5 in 2 months? Well, let's call it Pop-Up F5. Just a small little mini F5 inside Promise NBA.
So why did you agree?
Why did I agree? Well, first, Steve is very charming.
He is very charming. That's true.
Yeah. It took me, I have to think about it for a whole weekend, because I agree. It's because one of the reasons that Steve said it is that, you know, I used to go to Promax BDA years ago. It was the only place I could see broadcast design, actually, and have a lot of Promax BDA awards and things. But I stopped going because it became a little bit, you know, less design-oriented. In a way. So he loves F5. He loves motion graphic. I love the fact that actually, when we were on the phone call, that's why he got me, because we use software that no one knows before After Effects. I was like, you were animating in the 90s? He said, yes. I'm like, you're my guy. I'm doing Pop-Up F5.
He loves that.
Yeah, the fact that he comes from motion graphics was one of the biggest selling points. And at the same time, I have this appreciation for Promax VDA, and I want to, you know, if I can help bring more of the designers and the motion graphic people to it and the broadcast design, I'm here to be there. to help in any way possible.
Yeah, and I think that's a great, I mean, it's not an evolution since you're right, it used to be more design, but because there is so much design and there are so many motion graphics in television now, it makes total sense, right? To kind of go back to that, yeah. All right, so you have a really interesting array of motionographers, if you will, that are on hand to come to or to present at Pop-Up F5. So can you run me through the lineup?
Okay, so it's Devane. Which Devane, mm-hmm. actually, the one thing with we do with Pop-Up F5, all F5, it started with the first F5, it's like we pick us to, everybody wants to do the opening titles, and in mm-hmm. 2009, I met Devane in Barcelona. There were three guys, three kids, and I'm my number one talent is not the best designer, the best creative, is recognizing other people's talent, you know, like especially mm-hmm. when they're coming and upcoming. And so I met Devane, and I loved them, and I loved their work. And so I told them, like, you want to do the opening titles of F5? I'm like, what? Yes, that would be an honor. And I remember that they would ask me, yes, what do you want to see? I'm like, no, just do whatever you want to do. Do whatever you want to. I trust you. And I remember sitting there in the audience and seeing the titles, and I literally almost cried. So that was in 2009, Devane did the opening titles. And since then, it's like my rule. I don't see the opening titles until the whole live with the whole audience the first day.
Are there going to be opening titles this time?
No, this time.
Aww.
It will be just...
I know.
We know, because the titles are very elaborate. If I call a student and they need to do the opening titles for F5, they pop up F5, the pressure, they're gonna die. Because
yeah.
They always, every studio gets, you know, tries to, you know, they see the quality of the titles before and they want to try to match it. So there was a lot of pressure for every studio that does it. So Devane, I went to two design conferences in Europe, and Devane was presented one of the presentation, and the presentation was amazing. It was my favorite one of the two design conferences I went.
So and they're in Spain, right, Devane?
Yeah, they're in Spain. Yeah, they're from Spain.
And it's Carlos Pardo and Teo Guillem who are coming?
Yeah, Carlos Pardo and Teo Guillem.
Yeah, it sounds much better when you say it.
Well, with this accent, every time I say I'm from Venezuela, they hear Minnesota. I'm like, really? I'm going to go visit Minnesota.
They hear Minnesota?
Yeah, every time I say I'm from Venezuela, they hear Minnesota. I'm like, did they speak like this in Minnesota?
With this accent. I don't think they do, honestly.
I don't think so either.
So moving on. So then we have Extra. Okay. Is it Extra Weg or Extra Veg?
Extra Weg.
Okay.
Well, Extra Weg is an interesting find, because from the older design conference, the story is I go crazy. We were drinking beer, and we were talking about design, and they introduced me to Oliver and Bruno and blah, blah, blah. And I was with all the two friends from Spain, and I said, oh, we're going to dinner. So I invited them to come to dinner, and I paid for the dinner, and they were so thankful, but they were telling me that Oliver is crazy and his designs. I'm like, oh, okay. And that, I remember that night, after they sent me the email, I go at 3 a.m. and I see his website. I'm like, okay, this is effed up.
That's it. Yeah.
Excuse my language. The aesthetics were like, I was, you know, for me to get impressed with the aesthetics, I haven't not seen them. So I was like, so I asked them if they wanted to come to F5, and they were like, so honor too, but now they're very stressed because it's the first time they're doing a presentation in public. So I say, I will help you, I will guide you, I will mentor you,
This is the one where I'll put it on the website, but the eyeballs are coming out of the mouth.
Yes, exactly.
That's creepy.
Yeah, it's crazy. And now they're like moving on into using that aesthetic. Into you know, using it for advertisement and branding and products. So and they're coming from Germany.
Oh, Germany. Okay. Are they? That's why I was like, is it Extra Veg? So Nadia, I know I'm going to pronounce this wrong. Nadia Zoe.
I suppose. You're asking the wrong person how to pronounce their names.
Like, sure.
Yeah, because like for example, like I know Devane in person. I know Extra Veg, but I have never met. Because this is the other thing that happens too. I never meet. Which right now I'm changing that. I have rules of I will never be on stage. Please do not introduce me to the speakers. So I read about their bios, we curate them. But the last F5, they were telling me that they thought that I was being rude. But my point,
you like to be surprised. Like,
no, it's not surprised. It's just I don't want F5 to be a platform. I see it in all the design conference how the organizers or the directors, they use it as a platform to network with all these big minds. Mm-hmm. And I want F5 to be a platform to for me to network with all of them. So it was the opposite. It was for me to like, give them the privacy, not have to bother them. So, but now that they're feeling that I'm being pretentious or rude, I'm like the last F5 start to meet them. So that's why sometimes I don't know how to pronounce their names, because I don't know them.
Okay. Well, neither one of us know how to pronounce their names, so we're in the same boat. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now, yeah, where I was impressed about her work. She has done so many field titles and sequences, you know, like Star Wars story, X-Men.
Oh, wow.
You know, and we try to do a lot in F5 is to have a diversified, you know, roster. I said it right. I used to call it rooster for 5 years. I'm serious. I was teaching at NYU, and the dean one time came and like, Carlos, you didn't fill out the roster. I'm like, okay. And I asked my students, is this called rooster or roster? I'm like, Carlos, no, it's called roster. I'm like, I've been calling it a rooster for 5 years. Why you guys didn't say anything? We didn't want to embarrass you. I'm like, it's embarrassing to call a rooster for 5 years.
For five years, everyone was like, that guy's going to go sign a rooster.
Yeah, I taught in NYU for 9 years. For 5 years, I was calling it a rooster. I need to fill out the rooster. Great, the rooster. So Nadia, like, we love we like to mix, like, have diversity. So we love, like, Nadia, you know, Seisha and women too, mm-hmm. know, because there's not many women in to find women in design. Motion graphics is very male oriented, so I like the touch of the female part of the motion graphics. We're trying to push a lot of that. So, and she's fantastic, you know, based on her work. Her work is fantastic, and she's based in LA, so yep.
Why do you think it is that there's not that many women in motion graphics?
I don't know. It's like it's the same thing that there's not many women in engineer. Computers seems to be a male thing, and motion graphics is a lot of,
tech.
You have to code. Exactly. It's a lot of software tech, very heavy. You know, you have to like code. And so I think that's why it's the reason, is because it's computers. Because in the fine arts, there's plenty of women, but because motion graphics is more complicated, I suppose. But now there's more and more, even though like, that's why we have, I'm bringing the next one, Lola. I don't mm-hmm. know how to pronounce it, Lola.
Landekick, I think. Yeah.
Landekick, yeah. So I love that she came up with the 10 women of title design. Mm-hmm. And that's good to see how women, even from the 70s, 80s, they were doing title design, you know, getting the motion graphics. I don't think many people knew about this. People just know, you know, about, you know, all the male parts.
I think also Lola Landekick, she's managing editor and co-owner of Art of the Title, which is another... Yeah. sort of blog site, but they focus specifically on opening titles, which I said before, I love opening titles. I wish you were having one for the pop-up, but it's such a great time for opening titles, and the Art of the Title really showcases a lot of that. So I think it'll be interesting to see what she has to say.
I remember when the Art of the Title just came out, we were always like post where they were able to post to like try to help them and grow and things. We have a very good partnership with Art of the Title.
Mm-hmm.
Justin does. You know, like I said, like right now, I'm getting more involved because it's my daily work now, but Justin will be the one that interacts and I will be the behind the scenes. It would be funny because I will be in my office and studios will come, you know, vendors I'm going to hire for different projects, and they will say, we got a future motionographer. And I will say, oh, that's great. They would not know that I own it.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, no, I will flip out of my chair. I'm like, okay, if they do. So my assistant in that time, I'm sorry?
Do you confess when they say that?
No, never. 2 years ago, it was like two years and a half, like my assistant at the time convinced me to call it the professional closet. You need to come out of the professional closet. So,
but
yeah,
you did not.
Yeah, it was easier. It's easier to come out of the gay closet than the professional closet. So at
no,
least
it's
easier for me.
Like, is it? I don't know.
Well, for me, it is. It's just being gay. Love being gay.
You don't like being professional, so you needed to stay in that closet.
No, I love being professional, but I don't want to define who I am.
Right.
I think
that makes sense. Yeah. Okay, we're moving to the list. So G Monk is next.
Yeah, G Monk is this. I've done karaoke with him. I have got drunk with him. He is insane in a good way. I love him. His work, it impresses me all the time, and his presentation is super entertaining. The last F5, even he has a beer on the stage, you know, like, and people love him. He has a lot of followers, and he has done a lot of great graphics for inside the movies, you know, for movies. And the latest thing that he's doing, which I love, is like with robotics. So he's doing motion graphics with mechanical robots. So that his last piece is like a big two hexagons with lights interacting with each other. So he's very doing getting into installations, experiential installations. So I want to hear about his process and how is that going. He's a multidisciplinary artist. He does great photography, great videos, great motion graphics, great CGIs, and he directed many great commercials. One of the best ones, actually, in the industry right now.
Like what, for example?
The one from Audi. I don't remember the name of the but he did it a year ago, and it's unbelievably impressive.
I'll look it up, too. All right, let's go from G-Monk. Last one is Handel Eugene.
Yeah, well, Handel Eugene was Kulani, my producer, that found him, and we read about him. He's done a very good work for like Google, Nike, and Toyota, and he seems to be a great guy. We spoke over the phone with him, and he has very charming. And he went down on his own as a freelancer. And how we want to hear, like we were talking about him, we want to hear how it's going to going some of the biggest brand out there, working from the biggest brand to now working on your own, and how is that process of switching, you know, from. You know, you're working for a studio and you're getting your paycheck every 2 weeks to switching to now chasing the paycheck. So, and he's getting into VR and AR, and we want to hear a lot about, you know, this new age of the VR and augmented reality or virtual reality. So we wanted to bring that to the roster to hear more about that.
Yeah, definitely. So sort of a look at where we seem to be headed next.
Yeah, on VR. Me, I have my own opinion about VR and augmented reality, but I'm not going to get into that.
You aren't? Because I definitely want to ask you, but
I think that it's going to go away. I'm the only person, everybody says it's the future, but it's going to be, for me, it's going to go away like buying 3D TVs. Like I bought a 3D TV, I used it twice. this whole fact of putting something in your head, like glasses, it's not very conducive. No, it's great. You have a great experience. And it's funny because my first studio, I had a studio in my 20s when I was 19. And the name of my studio was, everybody thought it was very cheesy. It was called Virtual Reality Studio. You know, even like 25 years ago, I was like, oh, the virtual reality. And now that it's here, I'm like, I get bored with it. I'm like, you know, I think the future is when holograms, which by the way, we have a hologram in the last F5, where you see the graphics without having to put any device on your head.
Wow.
That's what I think we headed. Yeah, that's what, you know, you go to the coffee table, you see the graphics, and you click on them without having to put anything on. Augmented reality without headsets.
Right. I mean, I think in a way, though, don't you think that augmented reality is the precursor to that idea, to, you know, 3D holographics?
Yeah, I will say so. Yep.
So we'll see. We'll see in 25 years if you're correct or if I'm correct.
And well, and we have two more speakers.
Okay.
That we haven't announced. Yeah, we have Rodrigo Roman, because we try to like pace him out. And Rodrigo Roman, he is a creative director, senior vice president of a big agency here in New York. And we bring him in because he created this group of people around the world called the Pirates. And using our time, they want to recruit me, but I haven't had the time. But what they do is the Pirates, they donate their time, it's all labor of love, and for projects with social impact. So one of the biggest projects they did was called Refugee Nation, which they created for all the refugees. They don't have a flag, they don't have a country, they don't have an anthem. So they created a flag, an anthem, and now even for the Olympics, the refugees have their flag. So it's becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. So they create an identity for the refugees. Yeah, yeah, very cool. Later they created a font to celebrate the name of, I don't remember the name of the designer of the rainbow flag for gays. So to celebrate his legacy, they created a font, amazing. Another project they did was for the homeless here in New York, which was funny. That was, it wasn't funny, actually. I teared up when I saw it. But the idea was very creative. They took the homeless and they wrote in cardboard and boxes the spoilers of TV shows of the night before, like Jon Snow is still alive or Jon Snow is just, yeah. So people will stop them, like people having, fans of Game of Thrones, they will read the spoiler if they haven't seen the show before. And it was a great tagline, you know, fiction stories, real stories are better than fiction stories. So I remember that tagline, but it was great. So they do a lot of social works, and I want him to talk about, you know, and I see if he can recruit and people want to collaborate and how has the process of donating their time and how they coordinate, because there's people from Italy, Germany, Russia, even Russia collaborating to do these projects on their spare time.
Yeah, that's and, cool.
Yeah, and the other one is Tim from Resting. You know, you become, based on what Tim was saying, there's different phases. You become a first an initiator, later you become a professional, after you become a curator. And in the 1670s, you know, like it's not you retire and you don't know what to do, so you become a curator. The four phases of a motion graphic person. I'm failing to communicate. That's why I will leave it to him to,
okay,
to do it. Yeah.
Do you think you're going to have anybody else that you're going to add onto the list before conference in a couple of weeks?
No. That's it. That's the whole
done. Close.
Rooster. That's the whole rooster.
Okay.
Okay.
One thing that's cool is that like Devane and Extra Wag and some of these other people, they're not all from the U.S. They're from all over the world. And that's intentional on your part, right?
Yeah, that's what we try to do. We want to be just USA-centered. We want to see perspectives from all around the world. You know, the German perspective in motion graphics, the Spain perspective in motion graphics, you know, L.A. So we try to, like, have the diversity, not just in the human race, but in the locations.
Right. Do you find that, like in the case of Devane or the case of Extra Wag, that, let's say Devane, that they have a Spanish sensibility that they bring? Do you think that how people design is reflected in where they're from, or do you think they're not really connected?
No. Actually, sometimes, yeah, it has a little bit of local, the motion graphic of local touch, but because everybody goes to the motion graphic, really, you cannot, if you see it, or at least I cannot, very few times I can see a motion graphic and say, oh, this comes from this country or that country, because we are a big community, and we all like get inspired by each other. It's not like a very specific, like in the fine art that you can identify, oh, this is Dalí's work and this is, you know, Picasso's work, and the motion graphic is very difficult to, some of them, like G-Man, sometimes I can see something and I say, oh, that's G-Man. With Devane, sometimes I can recognize a little bit of their style, signature way of doing things, but Devane, it changes constantly. So it's very difficult to keep up to know who is doing what.
And that's probably what they want. I mean, I would think that, you know, these motionographers, they don't want their work to be distinguishable one thing to another. They always want to be creating something new and different.
Yeah. You know, that's what is the success of motionographer, the fact that we create, you know, because we get so many submissions, so people wanted to their work to be posted in motionographer. And what I remember coming to my office and in the morning, everybody was in motionographer drinking their coffee, you know, to see what was the latest thing, so they get inspired, because you see other people's work. I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. And you try to like achieve it or make it better or use it in your own work. So that's the biggest success of motionographer, is to see other people's work.
Yeah. Motionographer is, I mean, separate from pop-up F5, but motionographer for people is fun. If you don't know about it, to go, you know, every day, every couple of days, and check and see what's happening new on the site. And it's a good little kind of quick hit, because it's usually not super long. It's just go check out this video, get on with your day.
Yeah, that's what I do too. Yeah, because I'm not involved in the curating process. In 10 years, I only posted 2 videos because I love them and I didn't care who everybody said, I want to post those 2 videos. And it's funny, one of them was from Devane. And the other one from a guy that he sent me by WhatsApp. I'm like, hey, it's blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I remember Frank. Hey, this is Frank. How are you doing? Because I'm like, oh, look at my latest job. I'm like, who is this Frank? I meet so many people that I have a memory of an aunt. So, but when I saw his work, I have a memory of an aunt. I'm like, who is this Frank? And his work was a personal project. Loved it. I thought it was crazy. And I said, I wanted to post it, and I posted myself. And after, I'm like, by the way, how do I know you? I mentioned the Sonar Music Festival in Spain. I'm like, now I remember. We were dancing. So,
I think that's the through line of the story. You meet these people through having fun, and then they can end up on Motionographer or at Pop-Up F5.
Yeah. Well, to be in that Motionographer, not just if you're my friend, it's just that his work, I really loved it. You know, I was like, and Devane, the one I posted to, was amazing. The project they did for Jean Paul Gaultier.
Yeah.
So, but
yeah.
I mean, like, my assistant will, every time I will travel, my assistant will complain because I will get 5 or 6 emails from people that I will meet on my travels. And I'm like, I want to reply. And she will say, why, Carlos? You don't know these people. And I'm like, because you don't have, it's manners. You know, if they write you, you reply back. She will hate it. Every time I come from travel, she will hate, why do you have to reply to these people? Yeah, so I mean, I love to meet people. I constantly meet new people.
Well, everybody can meet lots of new people and also see all of this cool work at Pop-Up F5. And if you want to learn a little bit more about it in the next couple weeks, you can go to www.popupf5.com. It's initial F, number 5, F5.com, and check it out. All right, Carlos, thank you so much for your time. And can't wait to see you in New York and see everything you've got planned for us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Paige Albiniak is editorial director of Promax BDA. Kareem Taylor produced this episode. Video Helper provided the music. Digital producer Kate Lekhayer-Marion contributes to Daily Brief. Follow Promax BDA on Twitter, Facebook, and other social media platforms at Promax BDA. You can reach out to us at dailybrief@promaxbda.org, and you can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.